If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 93, and today, Wyatt Langford, Texas Rangers' number one pick and number two prospect in all of baseball, is going to join us. But first, Jeff, we got to get into the big league stuff.
Yeah.
70-48, this team is 8-2. They just come off a good road trip.
Good road trip.
Where they were 1-4, lost 2. Now, I know Oakland was 3 of those games. They ended up losing the last one. But, hey, to go into to the Giants, who are competing, they're in a wild card position, I believe, right
yes.
now. And to go take 2 out of 3 there, tough loss yesterday. By the way, it's Monday, guys. Normally, we don't do this on Monday. We do it on Fridays. This is a big week for me.
Yeah, I know it.
Friday, my oldest son, Ryan, takes off for college, and I'll be getting up early to drive to Missouri. So we may try to do something live anyway. I'm coming back Saturday.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see what we do, maybe pull something off. But Wyatt's going to join us today, but let's talk about this team.
Okay, yeah, good team. Yeah, the road trip.
They are a good team.
Good team. Road trip, you know, it was 4-2. It really could have been 6-0, but it wasn't, and that's baseball. You know, they lost, what, 2-0 in the finale against the A's, and then 3-2 walk-off loss in 10 Sunday. That was a good game. You know, Logan Webb's a heck of a pitcher. Dane Dunning did really, really well, striking out 12. And
Dunning was stunning.
All right. I like it. And then they got Will Smith for a two-run homer there in the 10th. And Smith's been so good this year, but you still wonder if eventually that's going to be Chapman, who pitched the 9th and did well there. So anyway, don't worry, the sky's not falling because of that loss. They're still ahead 2.5. This is going to be a close race. You know, nobody's going to run away either way. You know, it's still conceivable that the Rangers don't win the division. You know, don't be surprised that happens. They're going to be a wild card team, though, you think, just
yep.
the way things are playing out.
Astros are the top wild card team right now. They're the top wild card team, and they're up by 3.5 or something like that. So, I mean, even if the Astros caught the Rangers,
yep.
they're still sitting up there on the wild card.
Well, you know, and it's pretty interesting, too, Baltimore has asserted itself there in the East, and then you have Tampa Bay and whatever's going on with Wander Franco.
Oh, my gosh, that doesn't sound good.
There are two schools of thought on that. It sounds terrible if you take the social media chatter at its face.
Which we can't trust.
The Dominican Republic, when it comes to baseball and baseball players, has long been a wild, wild west scenario, and now that, you know, when these guys make money, they can get blackmailed. I mean, it's legitimate. You know,
it is.
You know, there's unscrupulous people there who try to get their families out of bad situations. And I'm not making any judgment either way. But
we don't have the evidence to make judgment. And I am always a guy that you do not condemn somebody till the proof is there and they're guilty.
Yeah,
I've always been that way.
Yeah, especially when the source is Twitter and Instagram. You
sure,
know, you just now MLB is going to take a look at it. The Rays are going to take a look at it. He apparently didn't make the trip to San Francisco, where they're playing next. But that's a big deal because he's a really good player.
He is very good,
and so that could put a dent into their plans here for however long he's out.
And a former Ranger got the call. Did you see that? Oslibus.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to say his name.
He was in the Nate Lowe trade.
Right.
He's been really good at AAA. He was a good little player in Low A for the Rangers before they traded him. But it's a tough name to pronounce.
Oslibus Basobos or something. I can't even.
that'll have to be good enough. But anyway, so yeah, the Rangers are in great shape. You know, they got Jonah Heim back yesterday.
That was awesome.
They got Nathan Eovaldi's throwing bullpen sessions, so it seems like he's going to be close. You know, they have lost Josh Young, which is obviously a big deal.
Right.
He potentially could be back late September after having the little thumb surgery over the weekend, or not over the weekend, on Wednesday, I think it was, in Arizona. So we'll see how that goes. You know, the good news is they do have Duran
and Smith.
Smith, I, you know, Duran needs to be the guy, I think.
Well, he's the better
bat. He needs to be in the lineup.
Right.
I haven't talked to anybody about this, but I wouldn't put it past him to call up a Foscue or a Davis Wenzel if something were to happen to one of those two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Wenzel has 20-something home runs.
Right.
You know, Foscue has been steady, puts the ball in play, doesn't strike out a lot. He's not a natural third baseman is his deal. So that could be a little bit concerning, at least on the defensive front. But
right.
The guy can hit, and he needs to go on the 40-man roster anyway because somebody they're going to want to protect from the Rule 5 draft. Same thing with Wenzel probably at this point. So anyway, while Young is hurt, the team is actually getting healthy with Heim and then Eovaldi. And then when Eovaldi's back, you know, geez, who goes to the bullpen? Do they send him on a rehab assignment? Do they build him up in game and piggyback with whoever's going to go to the bullpen? You just don't know. So it's a lot of things to juggle. But again,
it's a good arm to bring back into this.
Yeah, well, it's an all-star. It's a great arm. But the fact of the matter is, the Rangers are doing just fine, and you should feel good and not be too worried about them.
No, there's no point freaking out on pretty proud of you Ranger fans on this one. They end up losing that game yesterday, and the total meltdown freakout wasn't there because it was a good game. I mean, look, Webb was great. I mean, the Rangers were fooled all up and down that lineup. They finally got to him the way you need to get to him. They manufactured a run there. Of course, our new buddy, JP Martinez,
who
we'll get to see for the first time today because we weren't on the road trip, gets the call, which a lot of you were calling for. He looks so relaxed at the plate. He looks good. And wouldn't be surprising, I'll be honest with you, Tavares is scuttling a little bit when what's-his-name gets back.
Jankowski,
there may be some games where Tavares is not in that lineup.
Well, Jankowski needs to come back on the 40-man or on the active roster. So somebody's got to go.
Right.
So it's going to be John Ornelas.
Right.
It's going to be JP Martinez. So where do you want your protection? Do you feel comfortable with Semien's health or with Seager's health? Do you want to, he's going to need days off, it sounds like, with his thumb. Do you want to be an infielder short? So that's something they got away, and then Martinez, how much would he play as the extra outfielder? And maybe it does become that Tavares gets some days off, or maybe they need to give Tavares a couple of days to work with him without being in a game, without seeing live pitchings, a couple of things to work on, all possibilities. So by the time this is out, that decision will be made. And who knows, maybe they're, there's somebody else to go on the injured list. Maybe Austin Hedges has got a turf toe or something. I don't know, but you never know. But Martinez is an exciting player.
He is, and
he's had such a good year at Round Rock, and we've mentioned this before. While he was getting off to such a great start, Tavares was struggling. And there was talk about, boy, Leody, does he need to go down, this, that, and the other. And it might have happened, but Martinez pulled his groin.
Right.
And was not an option. And at that time, he was heavily in discussion. The big league club was really talking about getting him up. It just didn't happen. Then Tavares took off, had the great May. And he's been fine. I know he's struggled a little bit. He had a couple hit, triple in Oakland. He drives the ball still.
I think part of it has been his defense. He's gotten a little shaky all of a sudden.
Well, that was weird in San Francisco. And those two ballparks are Oakland and San Francisco are tough on outfielders. San Francisco because of the wind. Oakland because the lights are shitty. And they struggle. I'm telling you, they can struggle to see the ball. It gets really dark out there in center field. And I don't know if we're judging his defense on those last two series, fair.
But that's fair.
He's still a good player. I'm still very high.
He is a good player.
This is a time, while there's no need to panic,
best players are going to play right now.
Best players need to play. And if after 3 days of Julio Martinez at bats, they're ready to see it, then we'll see what happens. But Who knows? But anyway,
JP is going to play tonight. Good. I mean,
well, good for him. I mean, he may not play tonight. Jankowski's got to come off the paternity list. So, but a left-hander is going to pitch for the Angels.
Oh, because, well, that's yeah,
because Shohei Ohtani is was scratched.
He's skipping his start.
Some fatigue. He's going to bat, which is unfortunate for the Rangers. But you know, and then with a left-hander, you know, Garver will probably start at catcher because they don't want Heim to have to, you know, Heim can only bat left-handed now.
Right, so exactly.
They don't want him to face a lefty because he's probably hasn't done it for 1,000 years.
Right.
And so, you know, there'll be a little juggling, but I just find it hard to believe that Martinez would go back to AAA. But baseball's a cruel business, man.
Well,
but hey, he's on the 40-man now.
And he has options.
And he has options. So.
Without a doubt. And at 27, like we've said over and over again, there are guys that don't – something doesn't stick. There's two already great examples in Texas with the guy playing right field right now. And then, of course, everybody loves Nelly, who didn't really get going until they were about 27, 28.
He's 28, yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they figure it out. J.P. Martinez – last year had a decent year coming up, but boy, this year he took off like a bat out of hell, and he never went into that lull that everybody expected.
Right. He's been great.
He's something's figured out.
Yeah,
so he's figured something out apparently.
You know, and when you look at minor league player of the year for the Rangers,
he's got to be in that conversation
for sure. And you know,
Carter will be too. You got to
Abby Ortiz. It has to be. You know, it would have been Cunha at JC, but of course they
are no longer
moved on, but well, not by their own doing, but they're no longer here. So it'll be interesting to see that. I never get it right. I always go for the underdog. I've been pulling for Blaine Crim for like the last few years, and it just hasn't happened. But and he was the minor league player of the month for July. But we'll get to that in the down on the bus leagues. For now, on this big league side, you know, things are going good. Is there anything that concerns you right now, John?
That concerns me? Not really. Not with the way they're playing. I got to be honest with you. You can't freak out every little thing. Right. There's still a team that could go through lose 4 out of 6, lose 5 out of 7, something like that. And you just cannot. I tell you what excites me. It excites me that every game when they go out, I feel like the starting pitcher is going to at least give them a chance to stay in a game.
Yeah.
Even if they give up a run or two to start it, the team never seems to be out of it. So those things excite me. I guess, I mean, if there's anything that concerns me at all, I still don't think they have a shutdown closer. They just don't. I know you want to think Chapman. Chapman's come in and done well. And done very good, but he tends to put somebody on or somebody will barrel him every once in a while. And he is not incapable of somebody rolling into a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and driving it about 500 feet.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a 0.000 ERA. You know,
no.
But, you know, I think the power plays better in the postseason.
It does. It does.
But that's just me. You know, and it depends, like, who do you – what set of hitters do you want him to face? I know that's kind of what Bruce Bochy said.
Yes.
Like if it's 2, 3, 4 and they're all right-handed hitters and you have to choose between Chapman or Smith, I would just think they would go with Chapman.
Yeah.
That's just me. But that's probably, if I were to turn the question on myself, that's probably it's an unsettled area that probably needs to be settled in at least in my mind.
Before the postseason, you've got to kind of have your...
I mean, I don't know if Chapman's – he's experienced enough. I don't know if he needs to get acclimated to that role again. I don't think so, but I would think that's one. You know, the next shoe to drop in the rotation, as we mentioned earlier, is that when Eovaldi comes back, somebody's got to go to the bullpen.
Right.
And so
they're not going to roll a 6-man, I don't think, do you?
No. Not –
who do you think, Haney?
Well, you know, do you want a left-hander in there with all the right-handers, or do you want are you okay going with rolling with 5 right-handers? I mean, you could argue that Dane Dunning's their best starting pitcher right now.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's even with the additions. I forgot that Montgomery's left-handed, so Montgomery's going to be a left-hander. He's going to be in there. So
right.
So maybe it is Haney. He's done a little relieving in the past couple seasons, so it wouldn't be foreign to him. Dunning started the year in the road in the bullpen and was really good, but I mean he's had double digit strikeouts, I think, in three of his last four starts. He's just been really good, and
he's a guy you might roll out in the fourth game of a playoff series and start. Jesus. Yeah, I mean, I would have never said that, but good Lord.
Yeah.
You can't ignore what he did yesterday.
Yeah, you know, he throws a lot of strikes, which is good. You know, you don't want to be putting free runners on base in short series and or ever, but, you know, especially when there's a smaller margin for error. You know, I just, you know, you figure if we're going to talk postseason rotation, you figure that Scherzer, obviously, Montgomery, obviously, you would think Gray.
Eovaldi.
And Eovaldi. Yeah, right. And but maybe it comes down to Gray Dunning. I don't know. And with the way that dadgum postseason has evolved here the last few years, starters may go four innings.
Yeah,
and then if the Rangers make the postseason, I will be very interested to see how Bruce Bochy and Mike Maddux and their beliefs on pitching and letting the starters go, how that would play out.
Because yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be very fun to watch how they do it. But you've got those arms. Yeah, you're right. You know, look at what – I mean, Derek Holland, one of his best performances in the playoffs was when he came in relief and went
– Yeah, that was in game three against the Yankees in 2010. Because then Lee pitched game four and shoved, and then CJ got beat in game five, and they came home and won game six.
Right.
but, yeah, you know, and you're right. I mean, you just never know when it's going to – how it's going to work out.
Well, you can tell the difference in what Bochy's doing right now as a little bit earlier in the season. Heaney goes out and has a little issue in the first inning, comes out the second inning, gets the first out of the second inning, and then he goes and yanks him.
Yeah, well, Heaney had been sick, apparently. He didn't make his start between – or his bullpen between starts, so there was a little bit there.
Did not hear that. Okay.
But also, I mean, he wasn't, with the lineup flipping over, it seemed like the right move to win the game.
Yeah,
I mean, because Heaney had been behind hitters.
It was Slater that led off the game with like 108-mile-an-hour line drive to right field.
So
you have him coming up with the bases loaded with one out with Heaney up, and they went, nah, let's go.
Yeah, so they got Grant Anderson in there. And
he got him out of the inning.
But it wasn't a surprise. You know, Anderson said afterward, we were aware that we might all have to work a little earlier this game. So,
yep.
But to your point on Heaney, there does seem to be a limit. Seems like 85 pitches, it's kind of the limit there.
Yep.
And it's something that he hasn't broken through yet, and he knows he needs to. But even in the start where he had six scoreless innings and 11 strikeouts or 12 strikeouts, whatever it was, didn't even think about the seventh inning for him. And he was dominating. So there's some things to be resolved there.
The Rangers pitching has been one of their strong suits all year long, and you can't help but notice how Bochy works that entire thing. And Greg Maddux is an unsung hero in this whole thing, I believe. Mike Maddux. Who's Greg? Is there a Greg Maddux? I didn't even know there was.
Hey, he was there in spring training, so maybe he did something great.
No, but Mike, the way Mike works with all these guys is it's impressive with what these guys do. And you know, when you're competitive, there's it's a short hook sometimes. They're not going to just give away, you know, there's not a, you're just going to have to go eat it for us and take it. They don't think they're out of any game.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they go down 4-5-0 in the first two innings, and the Rangers aren't like, okay, well, let's just start throwing catchers on the mound and get ready. I mean, it's very rare for the Rangers to get run out of a ballpark.
Yeah, it's only happened a handful of times this season.
At all.
I wouldn't even say a handful. I think I can only think of a couple.
Yeah, maybe once or twice. Yeah. All right, anything else?
No, let's get our guest in here.
Let's get our guest in here, and then after that, we'll go down in the bus leagues. This week's guest is brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders. Jeff, what's going on in Frisco?
Well, they're back home, so that's good. A couple things. There are four chances to float the Lazy River. If you've never done it, it's kind of fun. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 21 and over on Thursday, and then Sunday also. So you can get tickets at MILB.com/Frisco. And then, you know, it's their normal stuff, you know, on Thirsty Thursday, post-game fireworks on Friday and Sunday. And then Saturday night, the 19th, is NASCAR night. You know, they're presented by Texas Motor Speedway. NASCAR is getting ready to come out. Anyway, you get a co-branded hat. And also, they have $2 Milwaukee's Best, which I don't know if that's really Milwaukee's Best. I'm a Schlitz guy, but I think that that kind of fits the theme. And then also Sunday, in addition to the postgame fireworks, Beer Fest, which is always a popular one, and then Bark in the Park, which is my personal favorite. So get on out to Frisco. They're home this week, and they're playing pretty darn good also. So had a good series in Corpus. So there you go. Frisco Rough Riders, thanks again, MILB.com/Frisco.
All right, guys, and joining us right now from Hickory, North Carolina, is Texas Rangers first-round draft pick and outfielder and number two prospect Wyatt Langford, who's made a big splash. He's just come on. Wyatt, what's going on, bud?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I'm doing pretty good.
All right. So, yeah, so we were just talking before we fired up here. You're in Hickory, but this is like the first time you've been in Hickory because you've been on the road. So your first taste of pro ball, you've kind of been a nomad here. What has it been like, though, these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun, but yeah, the first day I got out here was the beginning of a 2-week road trip. So we were up in Maryland for a week, and then we were over in Asheville for a week. So it's good to be a little more settled down now. We're going to be here for 2 weeks.
Yeah, Aberdeen, Maryland, right? You played the Rockfish, yep, or whatever they're called, yeah, something like that.
And then, Ironbirds,
Rockfish, whatever. And then, the Asheville, very famous tourists. Are they still the tourists?
Yep.
Because that's where Crash Davis, it's his record-breaking home run, right, in Bull Durham. And then
all us, yep, old people know the Bull Durham reference.
Yeah. So, you know, shockingly, what's today, the 14th? I mean, it's barely been a month since you were drafted. You signed pretty quick. Can you just kind of put into words what it's been like here the last, well, I guess if you want to go back to the College World Series, like the last 6 weeks, it's been like crazy, right?
Yeah, it's been pretty insane. But I mean, ever since I signed and got out to Arizona, since then it's been good. I mean, I've just been getting back to playing baseball and just being a normal baseball player now.
So what were your goals when you signed with the organization? You go out to Arizona. What are your goals? To get back into shape, maybe, because you'd had a couple weeks off. But are you trying to get your teammates, your coaches? What were your goals from the outset?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to get back to playing baseball. I mean, like you said, I took it was 3 or 4 weeks off from playing, so trying to get my body back ready to get into like game shape, and then obviously being around completely new guys, so having to adjust to that, coaching staff, managers and stuff, so trying to remember names has been a pretty big goal.
All right, who is your manager?
Chad Colmer.
Nailed it. All right, you're doing, yeah, good, Wyatt. All right.
Yeah, not bad.
You didn't think you're gonna have to take any more tests, did you? Now you're like, Jeff is trying to throw, yeah, you off.
So the guys in Arizona, you were onboarding with the rest of the guys. What was that like? Was it like the first day of school, or, you know, it kind of sounds like it is, but seemed like it'd be a really exciting time for you and everybody else.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's kind of just like going back to college again for the first time as a freshman. You're coming in with the new group that haven't been there either, and then there's all the older guys that are there rehabbing and stuff like that. So I mean, it was fun to kind of get that restart and then just to get back doing baseball stuff.
They even have a dorm now in Surprise, so you can get,
yeah, exactly,
in the village,
exactly,
save a little money,
go across the street and get going.
What do you think of the complex? It's pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very nice. I mean, all the stuff is right there. You don't, like you said, the dorm is just right across the street, so you just walk right over, and then everything you need is right there.
How hot was it? I went last summer to talk to Josh Young while he was rehabbing out there, and it was 112 or 113. How hot was,
yeah,
it while you were out there?
Yeah, it was at least that every day.
But they take care of you, right? I mean, you're really
lonely. Oh, yeah.
how much time you're outside.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad. I mean, you get used to the heat after like a week or so, and then it's really not too bad.
Okay. You went to the University of Florida. You're from right around there. What was the College World Series experience like for you? And not just you, but your team. I mean, your team was so talented.
Yeah.
Now look, I went to TCU and I do some work for TCU. So I wasn't rooting against you, but I wasn't rooting for you when you knocked him out of the tournament. But what was that whole thing like?
Yeah. No, I mean, it was incredible. I mean, obviously you grow up watching the College World Series and hoping to get there one day. So being able to actually do that was great. And I mean, it was just better than really I expected. And I think anyone else expected it to be.
I mean, it's a big stage and you,
yeah.
you performed well. Were you, obviously you're happy with the way you performed, but did it teach you anything? Like are you a clutch player? Do you anything like that?
No, I mean, I was kind of just playing the same way I had my whole career. I was just going out there and having fun and trying not to worry about like the stage or anything like that. I was just trying to help my team win.
Right. So your college career, it's kind of been documented here since you were drafted. You were a catcher when you went to Gainesville. Didn't play. You had four at-bats, right? I think four at-bats. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they said, man, you might want to try something else. So how did you attack becoming an outfielder from a guy who is nowhere close to the outfield?
Yeah, it was a pretty tough transition. I mean, like you said, it's a big difference. It's the biggest difference you can make, really, going from catcher to outfield. I mean, you're involved in every single play and everything that is happening, moving to the outfield where you're kind of just lonely out there. So it was a big transition, I mean. But it really wasn't too bad. I got used to it pretty quick, I would say.
I mean, you think of a lot of catchers as guys who aren't fast or may not be able to cover a lot of ground in the outfield. That might be a stereotype or a misconception, but wasn't it? I mean, you seem pretty athletic. I mean, wasn't it a difficult adjustment? Did you quickly figure out the routes? What was the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge was probably just reading the ball and, like you said, the routes. I mean, you just got to be an athlete, kind of. And that's kind of what they told me is like, hey, we trust you out there. So just go out there and do what you can, and you'll get better at it as the season goes along and stuff. So, I mean, they just trusted my ability to be out there and to put me in that spot. And it worked out.
At what point in your mind did becoming an MLB player, when did that enter your mind? I mean, after your freshman experience, it seemed like maybe it would take some work, but I mean, you just climbed on.
Yeah. I mean, it was I'd probably say it was around like the halfway point of my sophomore season.
Okay.
When I kind of realized like how well I was performing compared to like normal.
Yeah, sure. So because you were in the College World Series, you didn't go to the draft
combine thing.
Yeah. I don't know if you would have or not, but when did you really start getting interactions with the Rangers pre-draft?
With the Rangers specifically, probably a week or two before the draft.
Okay,
I would say.
Did they fly in? Did you have a Zoom call?
No, it was just Zoom meetings. There was a couple of Zoom meetings where I met with Chris Young and Kip.
Yeah. We love Kip.
Yeah.
We absolutely love Kip.
Kip was on right after the draft, Kip came on and he tends to like you a lot.
I hope so.
I mean, as you've gotten to know everybody, and including your teammates, what are your thoughts of have you sensed that there's a theme with people in the organization? Because I know Chris Young is big on family. He's big on just being a good person.
Character. And winning. And he's big on winning.
Have you run into that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it runs throughout the whole organization. Each manager and stuff tries to run it the same way that Chris Young wants it to be run. So it's good to be a part of an organization that's like that. And like during the Zoom meetings, when Chris was talking about that stuff, that kind of that made an impact on me and like wanted me to land with the Rangers and be a part of this organization.
Sure. I mean, cause you know, we've had some MLB players. We've had a lot of prospects on, like we say this all the time. There's not a jerk in there. I mean, it's like everybody's super nice, focused,
great athletes, good people.
Yeah. Some are more outgoing than others, but, it's like, it's, I don't want to, you know, cult's the wrong word, but, but there's definitely a theme in the kind of player that they have. No, I mean, you want to have a good teammate. You want to be able to trust the guy next to you. So how important do you think chemistry is?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably the most important thing. I mean, you can have an average team with good chemistry and then go a long way versus a good team with bad chemistry.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
So you did come to the ballpark. You took some BP, interacted with some of the,
now you saw that.
I did see that. Interacted with some of the fellas. What was that day like? I mean, I don't know if you're a big press conference guy or not, but getting into the clubhouse and getting some swings with Donnie Ecker watching you and the manager watching you, what were you thinking?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I thought the facilities that I had at Florida were nice, but being able to see all that kind of blew my mind. I mean, everyone told me that place was the best there is, so I kind of expected it to be nice, but it was better than I expected, honestly. So it was really cool to walk around and just be walking around in the clubhouse with the big leaguers and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun and I enjoyed it.
Were you able to tell if the ball carries?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I mean, you know, wood bats, a new thing. I mean, I know that these...
You probably used them, but I mean...
But these college bats are, I don't want to say dumbed down, but they're not like they used to be.
They're a lot closer to a wooden bat than what I used when I used to play high school ball and all of that with the drop tens or whatever.
You use a lead pipe.
Yeah. I mean,
has that been a challenge for you or a little adjustment, or are you used to it by now?
I mean, it's been a little adjustment. I mean, trying to figure out like what model and stuff I want to swing and what feels good to me is kind of what's made the biggest adjustment, but I mean, it doesn't really change anything. Like, I still go out there with the same approach and the same swing. It's just a matter of just hitting the ball hard.
There you go. All right, so I asked the baseball questions. So like we always say, I'm the hard hitting reporter. I'm the bad cop. John's the good cop. So here come a little more get to know Wyatt Langford.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to do. We want to get to know. So you grew up in Trenton, Florida. You obviously went to Trenton High School. Did you play any other sports when you were growing up or in high school?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I played pretty much every sport I could. And then through high school, I played football and basketball as well.
Did you grad your senior year, you played football also?
I did not. I stopped playing football after my sophomore year. So I started playing basketball my junior and senior year.
Okay. All right. So now everyone knows that you went to Florida after high school. Anybody else on your radar? Did you have any other offers? I know you're a big Florida fan, but was there anybody else you kind of considered?
No, Florida was the only offer I got. And then I just kind of, I shut it down after that. I didn't really care to talk to anyone else.
Hey, well, let me ask you this. Baseball scholarships don't cover the full tuition. And now with NIL.
Yeah.
How big of a difference was NIL? For you?
I mean, for me, it wasn't really that big of a difference. Like, I think it was kind of for the younger guys, like guys that are coming in now, probably because like this was it really didn't become a thing until my junior year when I was already like, this is going to be my last year probably. So it wasn't too big of a deal for me. It's more, I would say it's more for like freshmen and stuff.
So they were thinking, all right, you're going to go sign a big contract. You can you can go into debt for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we're not as worried. So, you know, the draft thing is for a lot of guys is something a little more interesting. For you, you knew you were everyone had you. Some people, a lot of publications had you as the number one pick. How soon? We all saw when you got drafted. You were sitting there with your family. You weren't at the draft. You were around your family. Did you know before they announced it, had you already gotten the call that you were going to be drafted, or was that a surprise when your name was called?
No, I'd already gotten the call, so I knew a couple minutes before.
Okay.
Who called you, Kip? Or did Chris?
No, it was actually my agent that called, gave me the call and told me. And then Chris called me after the pick.
Okay. All right.
They were going crazy in the little war room. You could see Kip going there. Yeah. Look, I think that we don't know for sure, but our gut feeling was they were praying that you would fall to number four, but they didn't think you were going to be there. I think a lot of people thought he was going to be gone in the first three picks. So when you weren't taken, I think the Texas Rangers and a lot of us in the media were like, wow, we knew what it was before you were ever picked too, because they had been talking about you a lot. Okay.
Wait, were you disappointed that you didn't go third or first or second?
No, I wanted to be with the Texas Rangers.
Oh, look at that.
There you go. I'm telling you, that's fantastic. I mean, look, he would have been happy with anybody, but that's good too. This team's winning in their first year winning on, it looks like, a long trajectory, and you come into a good situation. It's great they had that pick. Okay, now let's get into some more fun stuff. Favorite food. What's your favorite type of food you like to eat?
If I'm not trying to be healthy, I'd say pizza.
what are you putting on your pizza?
Meat lovers.
Oh,
atta boy. Atta boy. That's right. Now, I'm not as in shape as you, so the meat hangs around me a little bit, but you can't go wrong with that. Now, if it's fast food and you have to get fast food, sometimes you just have to, when you're doing it, what's your favorite fast food?
Probably either like Chipotle or Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
That's a favorite amongst
them. That's a standard answer.
Yeah. You can get in there and load it up. You get the bowls or get the big burrito and do that. Baseball players eat a lot.
Oh my God.
You guys have you guys go through a lot of calories every day, and you eat a lot of calories too. So, I mean, I wish I could eat like a baseball player the way it used to
be. I eat like a baseball player. I just don't work out like one.
Okay. Favorite home cooked meal. What is it and who cooks it? Now, you got a fiance? Is she a good cook? Does mom cook something? Grandma? What's your favorite home-cooked meal and who cooks it?
Probably fried turkey from my fiance's mom.
Really?
Ooh,
okay.
Yeah.
So, like,
is it dropped in the fryer or?
No, it's like cubed. So, okay. You cube it up and then put it in the fryer.
Wow.
That sounds pretty
damn good right there.
How big are these chunks?
They're small. Okay. They're like bites.
So no, kidding, that's good. And she fries it up, so I guess just in a deep fryer or something, and then what do you put on it? Ketchup? Ranch?
Ketchup.
Yeah.
I eat it straight up.
Okay.
It's very good.
With fried turkey, you're thinking
I'd put barbecue sauce.
Maybe. Okay.
Ketchup you say for hamburgers.
Okay.
Hot dogs.
All right.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Couple more. We'll get you out of here. Spare time. You know, when you're not playing baseball, which you're going to be doing pretty much year round now, but in your spare time, what do you like to do? Do you hunt? Do you fish? Do you play golf? What do you do in your spare time?
I do not play golf, but I do. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to hang out with my buddies and just pretty much do anything outdoors.
Now, you're hunting. Are you more of a bird hunter? Do you hunt deer? What do you do?
All the above.
All the above. Whatever,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Whatever it can.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because my best friends and I have always wanted to each fall pick one college football game to go to and go to it.
Right.
What is it like at the Swamp? What is a Florida football game like?
They're great. I mean, the night games are a lot of fun. But the noon games and the day games are extremely hot.
Hence the Swamp. Yeah, a little sweaty.
Yeah. So if you were to go, I would go at night.
But I mean, it's what, 90 something thousand.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Going to
all the SEC. Yeah. So I don't want to see a game at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Or Kentucky, no. But I'd go see a game at Alabama and
absolutely. Going to the Swamp in a big SEC game is a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, you want to catch Florida playing Georgia.
That's off site. That's at Jacksonville.
Well,
but I don't want
to go. I'd like to go see that.
Florida.
You went to that game, didn't you? I guarantee you, you probably went to the Florida Georgia.
No, I never did because we played a Florida Georgia baseball game the day before the Florida Georgia football game.
Okay, so you were always
also in Jacksonville.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so we would play the game.
Is there AAA
park? We'd play the game Friday. Yep, we would play the game Friday night in Jacksonville, and we'd drive back that night.
Okay.
All right. All right, last two. First, we're going to play something called the home run game. This is one of my favorite ones to play. We're going to talk about three home runs that you've hit in your life. And then after that, we'll go to the last question. But the first home run that we're going to go to, what is the first home run you ever hit over a fence? How old were you and where was it?
I was 10 years old in Lake City, Florida.
Were you like in a tournament or just playing a game?
Yeah.
Or?
It was a tournament for just my rec team.
Did you turn on it, pull it to left field? Or?
No, it's dead center.
We had a lot of dead center. Remember that?
I mean, they're pretty sad.
I know. Okay, now, most exciting. Now, you haven't played much minor league ball yet, so it's probably going to be something in college or high school. Was there a walk-off that took you somewhere? What's the most exciting one you hit?
It was the one against Virginia in game one of the College World Series.
Yeah.
That's the one that we're seeing all over the that's going viral, right? You turn around and yell at your teammates.
Yeah.
Get them fired up. Okay, that's a good one. Now, here's the last one, and I think this one might have also happened in the College World Series, the bomb. The one you hit the furthest, how far do you think it went, and who'd you hit it off of? Is it the one you hit in the College World Series?
We had two in the College World
Series. Yeah, they were over 450 feet. Is there another one, though?
Well, that was the one against Virginia was the farthest one.
456, and then, right?
Yeah. Yep, and then I hit one against LSU in game two. That was 449.
Are they the two longest you've ever hit?
I think I've hit a couple at 450, but
they're not as exciting. I think College World Series.
No, not exactly. The 456, I think, might be the farthest one I've hit, though.
All right. Well, now you got a goal.
Okay, so we're gonna go to the last one. You're gonna like these. These are some pretty fun ones. I'm interested to hear what you say, and I always put them on the spot too. But
yeah,
we asked the question: what is something nobody knows about Wyatt Langford? Now, let me give you some answers so you'll know. Jack Leiter, who's now one of your teammates that's in here, he can't stand peanut butter. Doesn't like it. Doesn't like it in a smoothie. That's weird. We got Davis Wenzel that's up in AAA. Had his finger cut off when he was a kid.
Yeah, they reattached it.
Yeah, Blaine Krim in AAA used to take batting practice nude when he was five. So, but and Brock Burke, I think the one that got it all going is Brock Burke, who's in the big leagues now, is a sleepwalker and used to scare his roommates in the minor leagues because he would get up in the middle of the night and just do weird things. But what is something nobody knows about Wyatt Langford?
That's tough. I don't have anything crazy like those.
Well, you know, it doesn't have to be crazy.
Doesn't have to be crazy.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, are you a gamer? What's up?
You get in trouble when you're a kid one day and
I was a terrible kid. That's true. I was a bad child. Maybe until I was probably when I got to 10 is when I think I started to calm down a little bit. But before that, everyone called me Evil Knievel. That's what my parents called me.
So were you bad because you did crazy like stunts, or were you just?
Or you just didn't listen to authority.
I just didn't listen to anything. I just had too much energy. I was always the one sitting by the teacher.
Uh huh. Yeah. You're that kid.
Now let me ask this: the fiance, was this a high school sweetheart, or did somebody you went to college with?
Yep, we started dating in eighth grade.
Oh wow!
Oh wow! Okay. Yep. Now where's Mercer College? What's her name?
It's in Macon, Georgia, and her name is Hallie.
Hallie, all right.
When's the
wedding?
December 16th this year.
Oh.
Okay, Evan Carter got married last year, like the 16th or the 17th, and
baseball players
Foscue?
Do it in the winter.
Foscue at the same time?
Yeah, I think so, Foscue.
Or no, Owen White. It was Owen White.
Right.
Dueling December.
He's got to do it in the winter, man.
Yeah, you have to.
He's a professional baseball player. The exciting for you and Hallie, congratulations
awesome.
On that. Show up, say the right name. She's going to ask your opinion on stuff. seem interested, even though I know you're basically like, I don't care. Let's just get this thing done and over with. Act like you're interested. But that's great for y'all. Congratulations to you and Hallie. Anything else before we let this guy go?
No, but I know you're off today, and you got to get out and explore Hickory. So
yeah.
Thank you for taking the time. We really, really appreciate it.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Looking forward to seeing you in Frisco at some point. But
it's spring training for sure.
Spring training for sure.
Yeah, we'll be at spring training. We'll come up and give you some crap and say hello to you.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
See how the marriage is going. Yeah,
yeah, that's absolutely right. All right, that's Wyatt Langford, outfielder for the Texas Rangers. Wyatt, thanks so much for joining us, bud.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
All right, big thanks to Wyatt Langford for joining us right there. Now it is time to go down in the bus leagues. We're going to start at the bottom, go all the way up and do that. And if we're going to go way down to the bottom, there was a couple guys I wanted. I'm going to go over to ACL first.
Okay.
The ACL, who are 19 and 30, in their last 10, they're 2-8. They did lose a game.
They're struggling again.
They're struggling again. But I tell you what, there's two guys there. Obviously, the guy that we're going to talk about is Walcott, who's got 7 home runs, hitting .280.
Yes,
a 17-year-old over there. But, man, Ashedri Vargas.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Y'all seen this guy's numbers? He's hitting .316. This guy was born in 2005. That's what I
– Good night.
He's hit .316. He's got a .940 OPS. He has 9 home runs.
Yeah.
This season.
He's kind of
middle infielder, playing second base a lot.
Yeah, since the Acuna and Sejacy trades, he's been the player who's moved into the top 30 lists. He's young. He's obviously talented. He got a I'm trying to remember if he was a $10,000 signing. I think he signed for a little bit more than that. But anyway, he's a nice player, you know, and he's kind of gone through he wasn't ballyhooed like Walcott or Anthony Gutierrez, but, you know, they find these guys and just, you just never know what you're going to get, you know, and
sometimes they hit.
Sometimes they hit and literally and figuratively. And he's doing both right now. Good for him. Good for the organization. I mean, they did lose some middle infield depth. They had a lot of it.
Yeah.
But they lost some of it at the deadline. And
they got Cueva and Figueroa still.
They still have a Costa who's kind of cooled off. And,
yeah.
Our buddy Cam Colley who's heated up. So there's still some good players there. But he's 18.
Yeah.
He needs to grow and develop some more, but
his body will grow some more.
But he's got pop for where he's at right now.
And he's here. He's not in the Dominican. He's here.
Yeah.
And I know he's a Latin kid. But good Lord, man. I saw that and went and I heard the name, but you know me, I deep dive into him later. And so now, like, he's my new, all right, this is the one I got to that's the box score I'll be watching also along with Walcott. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah, and then you know Sebastian's climbing the rankings. He's now a top 100 prospect.
Yep,
and some industry publications.
Leiter fell out of it. The top 100.
He should. And so anyway, the ACL has some players.
They do. Yeah. They do. And the DCL, I meant to go look that DSL. Up. And DSL. I mean, they have 2 teams going there. Anybody down there?
They have a couple outfielders who are producing well. They were both in the July Stars, the Friday on the Farm I did.
Yeah.
Go back and check them out at rangerstoday.com. $5.99 a month, $60 for a year. It's cheap.
It is.
As somebody correctly, or I guess it was Adam.
Pointed out that, you know what, and I love it. I think Adam grew up in Tarrant County.
Okay.
I think he's an Arlington kid over there or whatever, and it just kind of rubs him that they're not doing it. You were the former Fort Worth Star-Telegram beat writer.
That's right.
So you had 14 years experience in that, and then you moved it right over to here. But it was amazing that a first-place team this close to going into September, and you know what, we don't have to talk about it anymore, but he said not even one story.
Yeah.
About the Rangers.
Yeah. Well, and that's just kind of, you know, they will occasionally send a young rider out to
the ballpark. Sure, and it's not that rider's fault. He's just a young kid with his first job.
He's doing whatever he's being told, but they made an editorial decision. They don't believe that the Rangers get enough web clicks. That's all it is.
It's all about web
clicks. And as Adam Morris pointed out, they had a story about the Cowboys. Obviously, the Cowboys played TCU, sure, right there in Fort Worth.
Sure.
But then they had, like, stories from other McClatchy markets.
Yeah.
And that's just how they populate their website. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, if you...
And we are full-blown...
If you are seeking Rangers news from the Star-Telegram and paying to do so, you got to cancel right away and get Rangers Today.
Exactly.
Because we're cheaper. We're cheaper
we're
than
cheaper,
the
and every day there's something out every day. Hardest working man in baseball right here. I feel guilty. Every once in a while I'll just churn stuff out to send it to him just to go, here, I don't know if you want to use it, because I feel guilty, but it's like I've watched you work. I mean, you're nonstop on that, and I'll ask you a question, and he'll get back with me right away, and he'll go, well, I talked to so-and-so, and no, he's not hurt. They just pulled him, and I'm like, that's contacts. I love that you got those contacts.
It's exhausting. But it's all right.
It's all right. That's what it is. Okay, let's start at the lower level. Let's go down to Down East. That's the low A. We know how this works. Low A, high A, double A, triple A.
Yeah.
Down East is 22-20, 6-4 in their last 10. They have won a couple in a row. They're in second place, I believe, in their little conference. Did they?
They won the first half, so they're
in the playoffs.
They're a playoff team.
Going into it. Yeah. Anybody there? We still have the starter, Cornell.
No, he's in Hickory. I believe in this.
Well, Porter was good, but he just came back and threw three innings the other day.
Yeah. They're into workload management now. I mean, they've been in workload management, but now they're really into workload management on him. But this may be an old stat, but at some point last week, Down East had the lowest team ERA in all of A-ball.
Oh wow!
So I mean. This is a team that can pitch. They have some older, some older guys who are relievers. They have some younger guys who are in the bullpen or in the rotation doing very well. You know, we've mentioned their names all year: Montalvo, Porter, Dylan McClain.
Right.
I'm forgetting guys already. And no offense, fellas, if you're listening, because we've mentioned you before.
Yeah.
You know, the hitting thing is still a thing there, although they had a. They had a couple nice outputs this last week, but you mentioned Daniel Cueva just a minute ago. He's back from his little concussion. He had a scare, I think, late last month where he got kneed in the head going back for a pop-up. And so, but he's okay, so that's good. And then, you know, our young Latin friends, Figueroa and Gutierrez, who are always following. And then you've seen some of the drafted players start to show up there. So
yep. Right.
Anyway, but yeah, they're a playoff team, and if this rotation stays together and doesn't get moved up, they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
Yep.
Because they can pitch.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Hickory 29-12, 8-2. Boy, they've really come on. They're winning their division in the second half.
Yeah.
They won last night. Of course, we know that. So they're on the verge of making the playoffs the second half right now. They're up three games. I noticed that today. So that's good to have a couple of teams going into the playoffs. You know, we can't help but talk about the guys we normally do. By the way, shout out, got to give a shout out to Mitch Bratt's dad.
Oh, okay.
Who shouted out to us and said that he was in town traveling, and he you know, they're from Canada. He's down there. He said, I decided I was going to try that Whataburger because you guys talk about it. And he said, man, loved it. I love that Whataburger. He goes, but I'm listening all the time. He goes, I listen and I read. And he's a Rangers Today guy.
Yeah.
And so we got to give him. And of course, Mitch is doing great in high A.
Yeah. You know, Mitch has had a different year because he pitched for Team Canada. He started early, but you know, he's still so young. And you know, his birthday I think is July 2, so he's he might be 22 now, and just. Just a young guy, and I think maybe he's 20. I don't know. I can't remember. Maybe he's 21. 21. I'm not going to go to 22 yet. I'm not there yet.
But. No, he's still – he can out
But anyway, the point is he's young and he's doing good, and Cornell had a nice start the other day for them. You know, they're doing it with a lot of different ways now because, you know, Abby Ortiz has been great, but now they have Wyatt Langford. They've every good bat that has a good showing and – Down East has been moved up, and I would assume that more, you know, some of these drafted players or the undrafted free agents are going to be joining that group. And but yeah, I mean, you know,
you go to the bats though. You got to go to Cauley, who's still doing well, and of course the guy we just had on.
Yeah, that's exciting, and
He's just good.
When you think, when you look back at like Josh Jung, he only hit one home run his first taste of pro ball at what was then low A Hickory. Zavala started at low A and did okay, but it took him a while to hit a home run, but Langford's driving the ball already. And
hit a double the other night that just barely missed a home run. He's already got, what, three?
Well, when we talked to Cam Colley on our last episode, he talked about what just seems like what a great teammate.
Yes.
And guy this is, and you guys just saw it, and just seems focused. And anyway, Hickory's in good shape.
Frisco 22-17. They're, normally they hover around 500, but now they're up a little bit. 6-4 in their last 10. They have lost a couple. Once again, the same guy, Leiter's on the development list. He's still, he's running around with the team. So they've got him.
Yeah, there's just no real, they'll just, when they know, they know. They want to work on some stuff. I talked to a couple people, and one guy said he just has too much stuff going to his head. Through his head, too many people are telling him too many different things, and that wasn't a shot at anybody.
No,
if anybody thought it was, he's got to figure it out on his own too.
It's not a velo loss. He's still sitting mid to upper 90s when he throws the fastball. If you've never seen his slider or his curveball, they are good pitches.
Sure,
when they're on, but he gets out there and he fell behind, he would start falling behind players, and I don't care what level you're at, when you're behind three balls on somebody, even me thinks something's coming across the plate now.
Yeah, sure.
So,
of course.
Yeah, I don't cover the plate like a 20-year-old that can do that.
But that's what you see it more and more in baseball. There are a lot more 3-0 swings these days than there ever were.
Yep.
Marcus Semien did it yesterday in the 10th inning. He was up 3-0, and the pitch looked good. It was a fastball, and he swung at it.
Yeah.
And then he swung at another, and then they had a balk, and that's how the run got in. But Mitch Garver swung at a 3-0 pitch the other day. So, yeah. I mean, some people say the best pitch you might get might be the first pitch of a at-bat, so you need to be ready. But then the next best pitch might be 3-0.
Yep.
And then everybody swings 3-1, it seems like. So, so Leiter – it's the same stuff. It sounded like he got his approach better in May when we talked to him. He just needs to dial it in, and maybe just needed to clear his head.
Exactly.
But also on the pitching front, Ryan Garcia had a really good start.
Yeah, he did. That was really good.
And he's had some good ones and he's had some bad ones, but I think it was 6 no hit innings. Antoine Kelly was the Rangers' minor league reliever of the month for July. He didn't allow an unearned run,
that lefty that throws high 90s.
If you're looking you kind of think back in Rangers history or just at all playoff history, guys who just kind of get added in September, that one wouldn't surprise me, honestly, because he's been very, very good and he throws very, very hard. Of course, he's left-handed, and they have a lot of lefties in the bullpen.
Right.
But still, that one wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't. And then the rule is, in baseball, if you are in the organization, you don't have to be on the major league roster. You have to be in the organization by August 31st to be eligible for the postseason. And so, and then a rosters expand. It's not like it used to be, where you could just call up everybody on the 40-man roster. But that wouldn't surprise me if they see Kelly as a potential guy who could help out the big league team.
And he's on the 40.
He's not. Is he? He is. Yeah, he is. I don't know. I'd have to look.
I thought he might was one of the ones that they
added him.
Because Ornelas was another surprise to me when they added him, but they were protecting. Maybe he's not.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Anyway, keep talking.
So, that's interesting, especially if he's on the 40 for sure. That could be somebody that's just gives Boach another arm to come out of there. And of course, by then, if he's not on there and you have to put him on the 40, man, maybe that phantom injury that Miller's dealing with might eventually
might get him on the 60.
Yeah, might take him.
You never know. You never know.
The phantom hamstring might get him on the 60 to get him off for the end. Round Rock.
Round Rock.
will go to AAA Round Rock. They're 22-17, 7-3 in their last 10. They won six in a row.
Yeah, they're smoking. I mean, but they had that like bad series in El Paso, and then they come home and they start kicking some tail here. So, and they were just beating up poor Albuquerque. They're just knocking the snot out of them. And Albuquerque, a couple times, I think maybe it was Friday night, might have been Saturday, had this, you know, had a huge lead and late and gave it up. And, you know, the team's hitting. We mentioned Davis Wenzel at the beginning. Wenzel is hot again. Ilya Hernandez is hot again. They just got Sam Huff back. Huff did very, very well, I thought. While up for Jones.
Hit a home run, got a couple hits.
Got a couple three-hit games.
But right now, they're going to – right now for them, the framing that Hedges has and if the late replacement defensively, Hedges is right in your ballpark there.
Yeah,
to get up there to steal a strike or two late in the game. He's there, and Sam needs to be hitting every day again, like they think.
I agree. But he did well, and he's coming back. And we've mentioned Foscue. They're just all –
Now, Sam could be added in September for
he
sure.
He could, yeah. A couple things. Cole Wynn is pitching – still pitching well out of the bullpen. I still don't think that's his permanent home because he's not just pitching one inning. I mean, he's pitching multiple innings.
Right.
Seems like he's starting to, you know –
Get
back a little bit.
Well, he succeeded at every level coming up.
Yeah.
Then he gets to AAA, and it's been 2 years of
Well, and he's still very young.
And he is.
I don't think he's on the 40-man. I don't think he's an option or anything like that. But he's doing all right. He's slow progress is good.
I think his put up or shut up year will be next year. If he does the same thing next year in that 40 man spot will become far more valuable,
I believe.
But right now, there's no way you give up on that kid, especially with what he's done this second half and all of that coming out of the pen.
We didn't mention in the beginning, Bubba Thompson was DFA'd to make room for JP Martinez, and you know that's that one didn't land well with a lot of people,
because he's such a great guy.
He's one of the fastest players in baseball.
The Royals got him.
Oh, they did. I'd missed that.
Yeah, Royals took him. He's on the big leagues.
Oh, good.
So good for him. I mean, honestly, I mean, we're always pulling for Bubba. I mean, Bubba's one of the sweetest guys out there. But right now, JP Martinez is a better player.
Yeah, it's just a tough one, you know, because
he's a first round pick.
Yeah, but you know, the good
he was taken. I don't think people remember he was taken before Joey Gallo in that draft, wasn't he?
No. He was 2017. Gallo was 2011.
Was Gallo 11?
Yeah, or 12. One of the two.
He was 12. Bubba was a late first round pick.
He was.
Because Gallo was a competent. You're right.
It was Lewis Brinson who they took, and then they took Gallo. In the Bubba draft, they took Bubba, and then they took Chris Cease a few picks later.
Okay. That's what it was. Okay.
So, but anyway, well, I'm sorry to hear that about Bubba. I had missed that in my child rearing while my wife was out of town. And
those pets are different than the dogs. You got to keep up with them.
It was Henry's birthday on Saturday, so we were running around doing stuff. So I don't want to say I tuned out, but it was hard to keep up.
Yeah. I've been in that position, and Saturday for me, I'll be trying to you know, we'll get there in time to move him in at 3. Kat and I will find some little sports bar there to watch the game, have a beer. We're going to take him to breakfast Saturday and head on back, but maybe we'll have to – you know, if we don't get anybody else for this week, maybe we'll go live or something and do something. But this team is playing so well.
Yeah.
All right.
It's gonna be a tough one for Kat. I mean, it's not gonna be easy on you either. But
nah, I'm an emotional wreck now anyway. that I've gotten old and. I don't know. Maybe my estrogen is coming up or whatever call it. I don't know. But I, you know, look, my kids are great. He's the loudest in our house.
Okay.
He's a theater kid. He's going to study acting. Matt Hicks' son are studying the same thing. They're studying acting is what they want to do. Not the musical theater stuff, but acting is what he wants to do. He's just He's loud. He's fun. He's right. hysterical. He always wanted to be funny as a kid, and Dad was always a little bit funny. And so he wanted to be like me, and he had no timing, nothing. And something clicked when he got into high school, and now he's freaking hysterical.
Good.
He just brings stuff up. So one more in the house, though. We got a junior in high school. It's going to be really tough in a couple of years.
So a couple things over the weekend, and this is a little off color, but we went to breakfast. I told Henry, you know, we didn't do a party for Henry this year, and Jenny was out of town. So I told him, well, why don't we go out to eat for every meal?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, that sounds great. So we went to Dick's Uptown Cafe, which is in Cedar Hill. Good little breakfast spot. And so then he had a basketball game. Then we went to Chick-fil-A, and we ended up at a Mexican place, Cha-Cha's in, it might be Arlington, actually. But anyway, so he's sending a text message to his grandmother explaining what we were doing today.
Now, which grandma? Is this your mom or her mom?
Jenny's mom.
Okay.
And my mom doesn't text.
Okay.
And and he was doing talk to text, fortunately, because he said in his text message, we ate Dick's and then we went to Chick-fil-A. And so I said, Henry, you can't send that. And so I looked at it and I said, read that sentence. And it took him a minute. I said, well, why don't we say we ate at Dick's apostrophe S?
Yes.
Otherwise, we ate a bag of Dick's. And then he was like, oh, and started laughing.
I don't care. What is he, 10, 11 years old?
He's now 11.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny to an 11-year-old. But, yeah, grandma might not have appreciated
that. Or she would have appreciated it, but she would have said, Henry, you might want to rewrite that one. So I think I saved him a little bit. Yeah.
That's hysterical. Yeah. All right, Henry. You're always good for a laugh to me. Tell you what, that kid's funny. Yep. Guys, we're going to get out of here. We'll be at the ball game tonight. This one will likely, for those that are listening, you're probably already hearing it tonight. The video version will be out later this week. But thanks to Wyatt Langford for joining us. Anything else?
No, just subscribe to our YouTube channel, which you can do by just hitting the little button there.
That's right.
And then subscribe to Rangers Today for $5.99 a month or $60 for a year, $35 for six if you're on the fence. But you shouldn't be on the fence.
You ought to at least try month, you know, like we say in the rental business, go month to month for a little bit and see what you think about
it. Some people do that.
Then come back and you can click and hit that 60 when it does. Guys, thanks so much for being a part of this one. Until next week, I don't know that we'll get something in this week with everything going on the weekend for
next week. We're just going to do it next week.
We'll do it next week. Until then, we'll see you at the yard.
Yeah.